Hi, this is the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, and I'm your host, Conway, a spiritual psychologist. I suddenly lost my dad, and it propelled me to radically change my life. I went from a broke, burnt-out entrepreneur that was dependent on drugs and partying to a life of peace, abundance, and gratitude, making over six figures and traveling the world. My goal is to help you to heal your trauma and through the process become the healthiest and highest version of yourself. I believe you are here to live a life of abundance and not be a victim to your current life. Are you ready to take back your power and start to create the life you want?
First off, I am Claudine Castro. I've been a personal trainer for the past over 7 years. I've had my own training business for over 6 years. So I know exactly what us women think about in the gym, especially, we're in there to better ourselves. But I feel like we all go in there trying to change our bodies and just setting the foundation for this talk. It's about body dysmorphia, and body dysmorphia is essentially, it's a very skewed perspective of yourself. And according to Mayo Clinic, the definition is actually, it's a mental illness because we drive ourselves to extremes, unhealthy extremes, to just fix all the flaws that we have on our own bodies. And by definition, with body dysmorphia, those flaws can either be real or not real. So it's really just your perception of yourself and the unhealthy ways that you cope with it and how you try to change it, your body so much. But yeah, that's how we're starting this. Who are you?
I'm Conway. I'm a spiritual psychologist. I've trained with Claudine for over like 2 years, but then we became really good friends. So I was never an athlete. And then I met Claudine and I became an athlete. We definitely met at a time, very weird transitional time in my life. But it was such a blessing. But we've discussed heavily about our body dysmorphia and our weird eating. We definitely have really weird eating habits and just trying to balance that out. And from a spiritual psychology perspective, it's a very interesting thing, especially when you get into not just it's a mental disorder, but that just metaphysically, like how we're creating at all points in time, like we literally are creating this problem for ourselves. And it becomes like this really weird loop, because once you start being able to, know that you are creating at all points in time, like you have so much control of your body. It's like this almost like it's like a weird addiction to think this way, because you know better, because logically it doesn't make sense.
Right. Oh, it's such a trip. Exactly. Like I couldn't have said it any better. And I want to go, I want to delve into how we have our disordered eating and how that affects our lives. And at the very end, I just want to go over ways of how we overcome it, because I don't want to just talk about, problems and then we don't say how we, how we practically solve it, because I think it'll help a lot of people, not just women, but a lot of men out there who definitely suffer from body dysmorphia as well. It does not discriminate, especially if you started working out in the gym. I feel like it gets worse, but recognizing your triggers is, it's very crucial to finding ways to overcome it. But can you please go over your beginnings, like how you started recognizing, or I guess before you started recognizing you had body dysmorphia, just all the patterns and all the life stuff that you went through?
Yeah. So I always had, like, I struggled with eating disorders. My dad was like a single dad and he never raised girls. And he was extremely athletic and I wasn't. So I was not an athlete, but he ate like he was an athlete. And so growing up, I put on weight really quickly and I was little. So I was like always like the chubby fat girl in school. I couldn't like run, like, oh my God, like jogathons. I was like, can I just call out sick? Like PE was literally so traumatizing, because like they had all these tests for you to do. And it's like, you should be able to do this many fucking pull-ups. And it's like, meanwhile, like you've done nothing. So you can't just like throw someone in. The school system and just in general is like just really fucked up, especially about health and wellness. Cause like, honestly, if we had PE every day, we would have all been like we would have set the tone for us growing up, like with normal eating habits and like even school lunches are fucked up. Like we weren't conditioned to have like a healthy perspective on food. And especially with your background, like I'm fucking white. So like it was like milk and stuff, but like
yes, it was chocolate story, milk for lunch.
Yes. And then I hear all these stories about kids that were, you know, like grew up and they had culture and they were being made fun of for their food lunches because they smelled differently or they looked differently. So definitely I grew up like being like this chubby overweight kid. I hated working out. And then I got into partying. So I was like skinny for maybe like 2 years during junior high because I was only eating like a bagel and cream cheese and an apple a day. So
disordered eating.
Yeah, exactly. And like, but then everyone's like complimenting you because you like, you know, and I'm only 5'3". So like I've been 5'3" most of my life. I mean, I'm not a tall person. So anyways, then you get complimented on it. So it like creates that like conditioning. And then I was in like martial arts, but didn't last very long. But anyway, so I just like, you get conditioned to be like, oh, well, I want to seek that validation, right? Like, it's like a high, you get like a dopamine high. And then, yeah, I like, obviously none of this was healthy. None of it was like sustainable. And so then I got really into partying and drugs because drugs, obviously, like who doesn't want to do meth and like be skinny? Like that doesn't make sense either. So right. I had a massive drug addiction and then I lost my dad. So I was a huge partier, had nothing to show for my life, was not athletic, always struggled with eating disorders, like would be either bulimic, starve myself, like just whatever to be skinny or to use a lot of drugs so that it wouldn't make me so I wouldn't eat or I'd like abuse diet pills. And then I lost my dad and that was when, and he was like my only parent. And I was like, oh shit, like I gotta get my life together. And like, I'd always like weirdly aspired to be really healthy and be athletic. And I always was like, I wish I was, you know, I wish I'd be like those girls that like going to the gym or whatever. I didn't. And then when my dad died, I just realized I had to, because I just had so much cortisol and stress. Like, I was like, I got to get this out. Yeah. And that's when I realized like working out isn't about because you love going to the gym. It's just because you're like, no, I'm committed to this. Some days you love it, some days you don't, but you're committed to showing up for yourself. Like that's the difference. Like, and I, when I started telling myself, you know, I'm doing this for my mind and it wasn't what my body, like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm doing this for my body. Cause I feel like that's what I was doing. Like you're doing all these things like not eating or whatever, cause you want to look a certain way, but you get rid of the whole mind body connection. Cause you're not even caring about what you feel like, you know, like. So when I started going to the gym and being like, I'm doing this for my mind, whatever my body looks like after this, dope. But I'm doing this for my mind because I can't show up fully for people if I'm stressed out or, you know, like I need to release this energy somehow in a, you know, a productive way. But even through that, like I've always struggled with like eating disorders and body dysmorphia. Like I look in the mirror, like I have, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. You're like, I'm a size small, but like, and there's some like validation in it, but like, I'm a size smaller. I can wear this. Yet I think I'm a, I don't know. Like, I don't know why we put so much emphasis on it, but it's like, you're like, okay, so, but I feel like I'm a giant, I'm like a beached whale. Like,
yeah,
but you're size small. So by general standards, you're fine.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the definition of body dysmorphia. It's a skewed perception of reality of what's going on with your body. And it could be real and it could be not real. And again, it's like, oh, I have evidence that I'm a size zero. I'm small. But the way I see it is I look like a beached whale, which is so messed up. It's that conditioning, right? It's like, you know, how you were saying that you went through a pretty messed up period and people were like, wow, you look great. So it's like, in a way, your brain's conditioned, like good and bad could, you know, it could be either one, but also you don't know what's real. So you don't know what's going on at all.
Well, exactly. And then at the same time, like you're getting feedback that you don't get. You know what I mean? It's not something you're consistently giving feedback on. So when you get the feedback loop, you're like, Oh, because if someone was saying you look good all the time, how much energy or weight would that have? You'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, when my brain works, you could like compliment me on, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
When you get these like one-offs, it's like this high that you're looking for.
Oof.
And it's something you're not conditioned to receiving all the time. Meanwhile, like none of this should be something that we get. We receive so much validation from outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It should be something that is literally intrinsically inside of us, that we confidently know I am a fucking awesome.
Yeah.
No matter what size I'm at, I'm awesome because I showed up for myself, because I did X, Y, and Z. Like, I went to the gym. I ate healthy today because that's what I want to take care of myself, not because I want to look a certain way.
Mm.
And it's like almost like you just have to reprogram yourself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I agree so much. It reminds me of a post that I saw. It kind of hit the same points that you hit just now with working out. I think, you know, people go to the gym or they work out because, in a way, it's a form of punishment because they hate the way that they look. So they're using working out as a way to change themselves, but it's coming from a place where it's like self-loathing and you just don't want to be who you are and what you're in. But this post related working out to as simple as brushing your teeth. It's like, every night I brush my teeth because I know it's going to keep my teeth healthy and I know that it won't rot my teeth out. Sometimes I don't want to brush my teeth and that's okay, but I still brush my teeth. So it's like, if you replace brushing teeth with working out in that sense of the context of health and holistic health, it's not just, you know, working your body, but also it's the mental health side of things. I think it could really change things for people. And back to the school system, I wish that a lot more PE teachers would incorporate that holistic health outlook on physical activity versus you got to run a mile every single day. And I'm like, why? Is it because I'm fat? Like, what do you want me to do? So I would love to see that change in the public school system or just the school system in general with physical education, is that, hey, we're doing this. There's a purpose behind this, because I think we're just conditioned to believe like you just need to sweat and suffer in order to get results. And I'm like, what results do I want? I'm 11.
And like, I mean, it's almost like you work, some people work out because there's like a void, like you said, like it's almost like I'm working out because I'm broken. There's something broken about me. So this is going to fix it, versus being like, I'm doing it because, I mean, and this is like a fucked up thing, but like, this is what I do because I fly a lot. So I look in the airport and I walk around and I see, because I'm in so many different airports, just the general population. Like when you go out, look at the general population. We're in California now, so like it's generally healthy, but if you start looking at just a really, an airport's a great place because it's a real big cross section, right? And you see older people that are just hunched over and can barely walk. And those are the reasons why I work out. I do this because like structurally, I want my bones to be strong.
Yeah.
I want to structurally be strong. I want to be able to pick up my fucking suitcase and put it in the overhead compartment and confidently know I'm not going to hit someone in the head with it. You know what I mean?
Yourself.
Like these things, like where it's like, I confidently know I can do these things. Like, and so I think when you start implementing a different perspective, just on working your why, because it always comes back to like, what's your why? And if your why is because I'm broken and I need to look this way, it's really easy to get off the bandwagon, right? Because when you don't see those results as quickly as you assume you should see them, you're just going to be like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to go back to my old ways of like, whatever that is.
Because when you can't see the end.
Yeah. But when you look at like older people, you're like, oh fuck, dude. Like
that sucks.
I know. Like, and it's like, and we all have control over our thoughts, feelings, and actions. And like now there's more evidence coming out in science that like, we do control ourselves with our thoughts and our energy and the energy behind those thoughts. So we literally can control what is happening in our body with our minds. So like, it's like, what do you want to create?
Right.
And you want to create Discord, like we can easily do it. And that's why it's like with body dysmorphia, like I believe it totally is a mental illness because it is all mental. It's, but the power in that is that we have control over our thoughts. Is it hard? Yeah. Cause like we've been programmed to do think a certain way for so long. That's like always hard to undo. It's the same thing as like smoking, like go to your coping mechanism or whatever, but can you overcome it? 100%.
For
just
sure.
By being more aware of like what your thoughts are and going like, that's not fucking true. Or sometimes it can be like an emotional thing. Be like, what is really happening? And being like, oh, is it because I had an awkward conversation with some, my like loved one or a family friend? You're like, so this
always
is not
happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I like.
It's always an unwarranted or just like an unsolicited comment, because I've gotten that so many times where I'd hear, you know, someone, not going to name names, and they're like, wow, you look like a man. You're huge. And it's like, oh, cool. And I remember hearing that comment. And I remember the exact day. I remember because I was in Hawaii, and I had pictures taken of me right after that. And I looked at it. I was like, I look so huge and manly. Like, I'm disgusted with myself. And I saw that same picture a few months ago. So now it's 2023, 5 years later. I was like, yo, I was 20 pounds lighter. I looked so good and lean. Like on the outside, I looked healthy, but you can see in my eyes, I looked kind of dead on the inside.
But dude, that's the giveaway, is your eyes.
Yeah, it really is. I was just talking about this with my friend.
Yeah. Your eyes give it all away. Like when you're unhappy, it doesn't matter what is coming out of your mouth or the tone of it. Because like, I do so many like reels and stuff, and some of them, like I look back, because like you and I batch content, so like when you batch content, you have enough for when you have that day where you're like, I don't really want to do my thing, so you just like your batch content and you post that, and like I can see in my eyes where I was like, god, I was fucking miserable.
The eyes really don't lie.
No. And then you can see when you're like, I am on fire, like
yep. Like I look so happy and I look like I have purpose.
Yeah. And it's just so wild. And like, I mean, at the end of the day, like we can't control what anyone else does and says to us. The only thing we can control is if we decide to consume it, you know, because it's the same thing as someone putting a cake in front of you. Okay. I can decide if I want to eat it or not, but like it, you know, like I decide if I want to indulge in your comments about me. Cause like I was in Nashville and like no one really works out there. I think everyone just maybe does Adderall or something. I don't know. But cause the girls are really skinny, but like the gyms are empty. So I don't know what's happening there. But I remember going and I was like really lean. Like I like felt good about myself. And like I'm muscular. Like I work out, like I box. Like it is what it is. Like I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I can defend myself. But I remember a guy being like, oh, you're like really in shape. Are you a gymnast? And I was like, ugh.
Like you just know, you can read between the lines when someone says something like that. And you're like, I know what you mean.
Yeah. I was like, fuck you. I'm like, maybe I should work on some more feminine things, like walk more feminine or something. Like, I don't know. But like even like the hottest girls, like if you look at any of the girls that super hot, like super like in shape girls, we all kind of walk a little
different. Yeah.
Because like we walk like we're fucking sore is what it is.
No, like you're pain. Sexy
swag to it. It's like we're fucking sore.
Like we just went to work out and now I'm dead. And now I'm
And the hottest girls that you would say are like, you know, a 15. You watch that girl walk. Walk the same way. We all walk the same way. So it's like, you can't have everything. Like everyone, like you can't be everything to everyone. You just got to be good with where you're at and like, and comfortable with where you're at. Ooh, so like, if you want to eat that cookie, like eat it. Fucking enjoy, but enjoy it.
Yeah. Right. And then you just live your life. And I also saw this thing. I was about to say you get back on track, but I saw this thing where it was like, what track? Like, you've always been on the track. Like, there's no getting off track. Like, you just go. And I thought that was a really cool way of reframing it, because we're so caught up in just the logistics of everything and the XYZ of things. We're just so black and white with the way we approach everything, that when we start veering away from that perfection of, you know, executing the plan, whatever your plan is, then we get down on ourselves and we're like, oh no, we're off track. I don't know if it's worth it anymore.
We're in perfection right now.
Yeah.
We're in perfection in the imperfection. Perfection doesn't exist. Perfection is literally right now. Anxiety is caused by looking to the future or being in the past. Like, being in the present moment is what we have. So like, be present with what you're eating, be present with what you're doing, like, be present with your why. Like, they talk about, what is it? What's her name? Her name's like
Esther Hicks.
Yes. She talks about being in the moment. Like, it's not in the moment, but it's like, it's like basically you split your time into segments. So if your segment is roller skating, that's all you're doing. You're just being present in that increment of time of roller skating. Then next present moment is you're eating. Be present in that moment. But like, here we are, we're all just doing
everything.
And then you like eat and you're like, I don't have any idea what that tasted like, or really
what just happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, so blackout.
So it's like, no wonder we have body dysmorphia, because you're like, we can't even be present with like the day that we look good, like the day that someone said that you look masculine, but like, now you're like, dude, shit, I was banging and I still am banging. Like, you're just at a different phase in life. Like,
Yeah, I agree with the, you know, staying present. And when you are present, you're more grateful for what you have. And I think especially with our culture now and just how far our world has advanced with technology, it's a double-edged sword. You know, I'm very grateful for all the advancements that we have. Like, we can do so much more in so little time, but at the same time, there are just so many more things to look at, so many more things to do, so many more just pillars of success that we could reach, that now we don't feel good enough, but we kind of put that on ourselves. So now we're just spinning our wheels all the time. And that's where I think just body dysmorphia and anxiety kicks in, because like you said, you're just, your head is everywhere. And then you don't even know what's real anymore, because you're not even present.
Yeah. And I will have to say, like, I did say that thing about cookies. Like, if you're eating fucking trash and putting trash in your body, you're going to feel like trash. So like, this is not a thing. This is not me being like, oh, you can create any reality you want. But like, ultimately you want to set yourself up for success, like, and have eating food that is like made with shit ingredients is going to create a shit response in your body, no matter what. So like, if you're going to eat a cookie, at least eat a good quality cookie of something made with whole foods, not like a Chips Ahoy that could like last on a shelf for like a million years. It's not real food, you know, like, eat real food, but like, enjoy it when you do eat it and don't villainize it, you know? And I just think like, we can control everything in our body. We can control ourselves. We can, you know, we can reverse aging. Like, everything is literally just in a thought, you know. Aging doesn't exist except for in our minds. Like, look at animals. They don't even know that we're aging. So like, our body is literally, our design of our body is in our thoughts. That's why there's so many mirrors in like gyms. If you really look at it, and when you're working out and being like, I'm growing my booty right now, I guarantee you'll have more of an impact doing that than like shaming yourself the entire time. Doing something, being like, oh, well, I don't look good enough.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Every time I hear a client say something like that in the gym, I mean, I have one in particular. I've trained her for a long time. She had progressed an insane amount, like, you know, this girl, and when she looks at herself in the mirror, she's like, oh, I still need to fix this and fix that. Oh, my belly, oh my gosh, my butt is shrinking. And I'm like, if you keep saying those things to yourself, I will literally punish you.
Well, she's also creating it. You're literally, she's literally creating it. Like what you resist persists. Like what you put out, you receive back. So like if you keep putting out negative shit in the world, guess what? You'll get negative shit back. So it's the same thing with your body. Like if you're shaming your body, you're just literally perpetuating that fucking cycle.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I noticed that with myself, you know, especially with body dysmorphia and just a lot of insecurities and anxieties that I had to address. When I would talk down on myself, like, oh, I'm just not lean enough. Oh, I don't look good enough. Oh, who am I to say that I'm a trainer? Who am I to say that I'm this person that could help another person because I don't look this way? And because those thoughts are weighing me down, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where because I am now weighed down, I'm depressed with myself, I do unhealthy coping mechanisms, meaning binge eating or overeating, which, you know, again, it goes back to, oh, why did I gain weight? It wasn't because of the overeating. Yes, it was the overeating, but what caused that overeating? It was me talking bad on myself consistently over time. So it's like you said, we have the power to control our thoughts. So good news is that there is a solution. Instead of thinking those negative thoughts, I don't expect someone to make a positive switch right away. If even, I mean, Esther Hicks even says this, like, go neutral. If you can't go positive, just go neutral, because that's definitely better than negative. So instead of being like, oh, I'm fat, you could just say, I have thighs, which means I could walk. And then from there, maybe you could start shifting positive and say, oh, wow, my thighs have provided me so much stability over the years. What? I have thighs. I have an able body. So going from negative to neutral and then positive, I think that's a great start to just overcoming those anxieties and just negative thoughts about yourself.
Well, even just with like tapping, like I do a lot of tapping and like at first you have to acknowledge the negative. Like there's such a thing as toxic positivity. Like I have a podcast on it where like we're toxically positive, where it's almost like, well, I don't want to energize the negative thought. So I just jump to, you know, I just jump to positivity. But if your brain doesn't have a bridge to the two, it's not going to take it as truth. You have to acknowledge that you feel something and it is something negative. So like, even like through tapping, like I may not be at my ideal weight, but I accept myself fully. Like that'll reprogram you into being,
sorry,
I cut accept off. Myself fully where I am. Like I may not be where I want to be, but I accept myself fully. Like I accept myself fully. That's it. Like that's all you can do. And so like sometimes you just have to tap more on those days. Like, and I'm sure like you share on your channel, but like just the different like modalities of being able to do that. And then saying the things that you want to affirm, like I am sexy. I'm so glad that I have this body that allows me to move, because that's the other thing. When I go through the airport, I see older people, they're not able to move.
Yeah.
Here, I am blessed to have legs that can carry me places. There's people that, you know, get in car accidents and they're paralyzed now. Mm-hmm. Like I guarantee that they wish they could go for a run.
Oof. Yeah. And right? Not like, their bodies. They regret exactly. All the times that they shame their bodies. To
fucking get up and go for a run. Meanwhile, you're going to sit your ass on a couch and eat like a pan of brownies. No. Like if you're not doing it for yourself, do it for someone else. So like someone else wishes they had the opportunities that you do. Oof. So go take them.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think that's a great way to overcome body dysmorphia as well. And the anxieties that come along with it is recognizing, okay, take your eyes off yourself. And that's something that I just learned with from a lot of really good mentors of mine, is that when you take your eyes off yourself, you literally cannot think of your own anxieties and insecurities anymore. And then you become a tool of just contribution. Like how can you contribute to anyone around you? And yeah, like you could say that you're blessed to have working legs, and you know, it's like it sucks when someone else doesn't have it. Like you could do it for that person, but also at the same time, for those people who aren't as able-bodied, you have a strong enough body to contribute to them. Maybe you can help them out somehow, or use your strength to help someone else. So that's one way to overcome that body dysmorphia, because it does hype me up. It's usually like I love it when other women are like, oh my God, you're so strong. Like, can you help me out? I'm like, yeah, girl, I got you. And that's what gets me out of my own head. I'm like, you know what? Like, this body that I have shamed for so long for looking a certain way, it was able to help someone out. So it's as simple as that. That helps me out at least.
Dude, well, I mean, I'll speak truth into you right now. Like, you helped me so much. Like, you're an amazing personal trainer. Like, you are amazing, amazing at it. Like, you're so amazing. I don't need a personal trainer anymore unless I just want to have someone just hold me accountable and push me a little bit more. You know, like, you trained me so well on how to perform moves correctly. That's, you know, like, goal. So I don't have injuries. Like, for me, it's like, now it's like me pushing myself to like lift heavier or whatever, but at least I know I can do it correctly to not be injured. Like, that's huge. Like, yeah. I'm confident enough to walk into a gym and be like, I can like walk around this gym and do all this shit. And it doesn't have to just be squats. Like, I don't have to just sit at a squat rack. Like, I can do lots of other things, you know, like, so I want to thank you for that. And that you don't shame ever, you've never shamed food ever for any of us. Like, especially you have a clientele that is like, has a very different cultural background, and like ethnic food has different components to it that are bad in the workout community, like are deemed bad. Like, oh, tortillas are bad. Rice is bad. Carbs are bad. Like, all this like shit. And it's like, you never villainized it. You were always like, how can you make healthier versions of the things that you love? And like, you know, that like that you identify with and you crave.
Right. And that goes back to, you know, it's like, gosh, like, I will blame the school system, the public school system's health education till I die, until something changes. But it's like,
they need more money is what it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's true.
Something sustainable to live off of. I'm sure that they would love their job.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, it's like shaming never works. I think shaming is the root of all, you know, insecurities and feeling like you're not good enough. And I don't think shame should ever be used when you're trying to help someone get better, because it's not sustainable. You want to empower someone to, like you said, I'm so glad you said that you feel like you could do things right, because that's the goal. It's like teaching someone how to fish, because now that you know the tools and you're strong and you have great form, you could teach that to someone else, and that causes a ripple effect, because that means less broken backs. So that'll help out the world a lot. But yeah, but shaming food. Okay. Yeah. Rice and tortillas. It's like the whole carbs, demonizing carbs or just food in general, is so outdated. And there's this one fitness trainer that I follow on Instagram, and he always talks about the Japanese population. He's like, why do they have the lowest BMI in the world, yet they consume the most rice per capita, like, you know, in general, like amongst
they eat extremely clean if you look at their whole diet.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, also look at the portion sizes and look at the way that they live. They walk around a lot more. Look at us in America. Like, we are sitting all day long. It's like, when we're sitting, we're just walking a little bit to our car to sit a little bit more, to commute long, long hours and sit a little bit more. And then we wonder why, like, oh, I don't know. It's like, just all the little changes that we need to make with, you know, just being more active, walk 30 minutes. If you can't do 30 minutes, do as little as 10 minutes, even 5 minutes. Just do every little thing that you can for your body, knowing that it is good for you versus a form of punishment.
Yeah. It's like you're paying, like, it's almost like just being respectful of your body. Mm. Like, that's what it is. It's like you're paying it respect. Like, thank you for showing up for me. Like, let me pay it forward. Like, I have one client, and she's banging, but she literally does like 5 minute workouts. She's got two kids. So she does them in between things. So she will just like leave out, like, you know, her thigh bands or whatever, you know, like, and just leaves them out on the counter. And when she can have a chance to do it, when she's washing dishes, she's doing like hip abductions, like, you know, like just really, it doesn't have to be super complicated. Like,
yeah,
it can be really easy. And like, yeah, the gym is intimidating, but like literally, like what we were saying, basically everyone in the gym has body dysmorphia. Yeah. So if you know that you're walking into like literally something where every single person there is probably a little insecure, even if they're coming across as not being insecure, they started off where you were too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, it's so weird how the gym breeds body dysmorphia. And I don't know what it is.
I don't think it's the gym. I think it's just our culture, society.
It's our culture. Yeah, it's our culture. Yeah.
We had it way before the gym. The gym just makes it different because then you're like, well, now I want abs. It makes it real specific. Like, well, my identity is now tied to like my butt being X amount. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it is our culture. Yeah, no, totally. It is our culture and just so many aspects of our culture. And it's the hustle culture is if we're not doing the most, then it's not good enough. That's why there's such, it's so rampant. I had this conversation with my guy friends yesterday because they both used to compete as bodybuilders. And they said it was the worst, like just worst time of their lives, just mentally.
It sounds awful, to be honest.
It is. Yeah. They were like, it ruined our relationships and our lives because it's so self-serving. Like all you could think about is yourself and how you look. And they said, once we got out of it, oh my gosh, life got so much better because you're not thinking about yourself. Again, it's like your eyes are on yourself all the time. Now they're just focused on serving people. And that's how they live a more fulfilling life. And it goes back to the why. It's like, why are you doing this? Why are you working out? Because I have a more fulfilling life. Like I'm strong for my family. I'm able to serve better. And my confidence in myself hopefully bleeds into other people who need the confidence too, because we need more of that.
Exactly. Like, that's why I was showing up like in the gym and I would literally repeat to myself over and over again. I'd be like running and I hate running, but I would be at Equinox, the PR run classes were the best. Cause all of a sudden you're like, I ran 8 miles. I had no idea how to do that. But I would repeat to myself, like, I'm doing this for my mind. I am doing this for my mind. I am doing this for my mind to strengthen my mind. Because like, we don't like things that are difficult. Like we will always choose the path of least resistance, and it's literally not ever going to serve us. It's like in the struggle that we gain, you know, like you're never going to have strong legs unless you push heavier weight. Like, and it's going to be difficult at times. Like, but that translates into any area of your life. Like your relationship with your boyfriend is not going to be great unless you have those difficult conversations, you know, and that'll be make or break your relationship. And then you figure out like, maybe I'm partnered with the right person or not, you know? Like that goes into any area of life, is like things that require effort are worth it. Like it's worth it to put the effort in because that makes you stronger.
Yeah. No, totally. It's like being uncomfortable and putting purpose behind that discomfort makes you stick to something longer. Mm-hmm. It's like you telling yourself over and over, I'm doing this for my mind. Like even though this run sucks right now and I hate it, I'm doing this for my mind. And I could see, I know so many friends, including you, who do cardio like that. And I know it comes from a place of building mental fortitude, because I tried running recently and I noticed I have gotten better as I do it a little bit more, which is cool to see. And it's like, now I'm connecting it with, oh, like, yeah, this running kind of sucks. But the purpose is I want to be mentally stronger. The running is just a tool. Like I can do other things that'll make me mentally stronger, but I also wanted to better my cardio and my heart health at the same time, strengthen my mental capacity. Why not running? Mm-hmm. Like get myself uncomfortable and get healthier at the same time.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like when you keep showing up for yourself in like little ways, you build confidence in yourself. When you let yourself down by not showing up and going to the gym, you're literally reprogramming yourself that you don't have confidence in your own self. So like, why would your mind and body trust you? You know?
Oh man.
And why there's a mind body connection. That's why they talk about it so much. It's like, when you stop showing up, it's like, think about your mind and your body as your friend. If your friend promised that they were going to do something for you and didn't do it and flaked out on you, would you still be friends with that person?
Yeah, but I would not take their word anymore.
Exactly. You wouldn't trust yourself. Yeah. You wouldn't trust them. So you wouldn't trust yourself then, you know? So like when you make a promise to yourself that you're going to show up and do something, you got to do it. You got to hold yourself accountable. And then every one of those small steps, even if it's 5 minutes, like just go for 5 minutes. At least you went. Like you don't have to do the most, but like that builds up confidence. Then you can go the next time and it's 10 minutes. Like I always have these friends that all of a sudden are like, I'm going to work out like for 4 hours. I'm like, you don't work out at all. Like
this is definitely coming from a place of self-loathing.
Yeah, I'm like, just go for 5 minutes, dude. Like, why don't you just go for a walk? Like, you don't even need a gym membership to encourage you to do stuff. Like, so many people are like, bring me with you to the gym. I'm like, I go at 7:15. They're like, what? It's so early. I'm like, I get it done.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. I know. This sounds terrible, but it's like, whenever someone wants help, I'm very willing, but it's like, you also have to meet me halfway. It's like training a client. When, like, I had a friend recently ask me, she messaged me, she was like, oh my gosh, can you help me do this? It had something to do with like editing and stuff. And she started doing it. I was like, dude, that's awesome. I'll help you out. And then I've had loads of other people who are like, oh my gosh, can you help me out? But I don't see any, you know, follow through. I'm like, why would I meet you halfway when you can't even meet yourself halfway? So I am now more confident in my friend who's like, can you please help me edit? And she spent 4 hours on her first video. I was like, dude, I know it sucked, but really good for you. She was like, it was hard. Like, this was so much harder than I thought. But I was like, you did it. Like, that's awesome. And it's something that, you know, because she wants to build a channel for herself. And I think that's so cool that, like, now I'm more inclined to help her.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you're going to make time for the things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it is. If it's therapy, you'll make time for it. If it's getting your teeth cleaned, you'll make time for it. If it's working out, you'll make time for it. You make time for the things that are important to you. And so if you're not making time for it, it's not important to you. And that's okay. That's the other thing. It is okay saying this is not important to me. Even if everyone else is saying this is healthy, you should be doing it. If you can't do it and don't want to, that's cool. Mm. I think the best thing you can do is fucking own up to it. No, I don't want to do it. Okay, cool. Don't talk about it ever again.
Yep. Yep. Who was that? I heard that from someone. It was a podcast that I was listening to, but they're friends, they had a group of friends, and they were like, oh, I really want to start up this X business. I really want to start this Y idea. And they all came up with an idea within their friend group. They're like, if it's your third time bringing it up, don't bring it up again unless you actually start it. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Because what's the worst? At least start it and fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because failure doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
But at least tried and you figure out what you like or what you don't like and you can pivot. But if you don't do anything, I don't want to hear you talk about it. That's like I'm a spiritual psychologist. So like people will be like, oh, I want you to help me. Okay, cool. Here's the times.
Yep.
Times of work.
Yep.
Great defense. Okay. I'm going to say that you're not invested in that right now. That's fine. But don't bring it up to me. Also like with content creating, people always say that too. It's like, oh, I want to watch you. How do you create your content? I'm like,
oh yeah.
You can literally Google search any of this shit. You're not going to waste my time doing it. If you're not.
That's how, like, I felt with like the people asking me how to edit. I'm like, yeah, I'm down to help, but it's like,
it's also a quick Google search.
It is. Yeah.
If you can Google it, don't ask me about it.
Yep.
Unless you're really serious, you have a very specific question. But like, it's the same thing with like just body dysmorphia in general. Like if you want to do something about it, fucking do something about it. If you don't and you're happy living, you know, you can create heaven or hell on earth for yourself.
Yeah.
So if you want to live in purgatory, go ahead. Like, and like, it is harder because like, even when we talk about it and here, I've done like all the spiritual work and know all the things, there'll be times where you have these triggers that come up and you're like, you fall back in your old cycle and your old pattern. But the more you can pull yourself out of it, like, and be conscious of it, when you fall back in your old pattern, it's going to feel so uncomfortable and weird and icky. You're like, like, it feels familiar, but familiar in a yuck way where you're mm-hmm. like, this isn't me anymore. I mean, I'm comfortable with it because it was me, but this isn't me anymore. It's the same thing with like drinking alcohol, because I don't drink. It's like, I went through a time of like, I want to see if I can drink, because I hadn't drank in a long time. And I was like, it feels familiar, but it just feels like a shoe that doesn't fit anymore. I was like, this isn't what I want. Like, this isn't, I don't like who I am. This isn't for me.
Oh my gosh. It reminds me of whenever I slip back into old habits, I just think about moving back home. Like, okay, I love my parents, but it's like, when I think of moving back home to my hometown where I went to high school with some people, those associations make me feel really depressed. Like, I don't want to go back there. So it's like, when I think of, oh, I'm doing this, I'm like, okay, these are the same exact habits I was doing back then. And I don't want to go back to that place.
Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, like, every single person is so fucking powerful. Like, that's the whole thing about this, like, whole self-care movement and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the bottom line is that you are so fucking powerful. Mm. You're so fucking powerful to create whatever reality, whatever you want. And especially with now technology at our fingertips. Yeah, everything is a quick Google search away. But like, you are so powerful. And if you're not surrounded by people that are going to be supportive of you, that is not your tribe. You can move on. You will find another tribe of people that will support you and encourage you and, you know, hold you accountable. And especially with the body dysmorphia thing, having a good peer group of people, because everyone kind of knows that everyone kind of has it, is having strong friendships where it's like, hey, tell me when I'm starting to, like, you know, be self-loathing or hypercritical of myself, when it's not true. And in a lovingly and aggressive way, tell me to shut the fuck up, you know, like, reality check me. And that's a real friendship, is someone that can reality check you without your ego getting in the way, being like, well, they're wrong. You know, like,
that's when you get in trouble.
A friend.
Yeah. It's the truth. It's like a good friend will tell you the truth. Even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I had one friend, she's like, you know, you think about food like a lot more than a normal person. I was like, cause I villainized it. I've like overthought it. I'm like, what do I want to eat next? I'm like, are you even fucking hungry?
Yeah, you're not hungry. It's like, why did we eat 5 cans of, I don't know, like the same exact thing? You ate the yogurt, like 5.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, that kefir yogurt from the farmer's market. So delicious. And it was, they're not really that big. So it's not like I ate like these giant things.
Yeah, of yogurt. Yeah.
But I still ate 5 of them. Like, and it's, that was the only thing I ate all day. But like, why did I need to eat 5?
Yeah.
It wasn't going to go bad. Like, I could have, like, you know, I could have been eating it right now, but nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely one of the triggers that I would recognize when I'm like, ooh, I'm going in a spiral, is when I start thinking scarcity mindset. When I think, oh, there's not enough to go around. Like, this food is so good. And my brain kind of tricks me. And it's like, you might not get this ever again.
It's such bullshit.
It is.
And then you swing the other way and you're like, I'm never going to buy it again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. But like, also at the end, we were talking about it. Like, epigenetics is a real thing. Like, epigenetics is a study of what past life, like, not like past, like, I mean, past lives, but things that happen in your generations. Like,
it's like generational, like, trauma. Family,
what that looks like and how it's encoded in your DNA and has reprogrammed you, because it was a survival mechanism for you to survive. So in lab rats, they showed that the mom rat that went through the maze and made it through successfully, her offspring, never seen the maze, could get through the maze successfully because it was encoded in their DNA for survival. So we have it as well. And so a lot of us culturally experience famines. So some of these like responses may not actually be something that we conditioned ourselves. We probably definitely helped, but some of them could be generational things that we have to like deprogram in our subconscious mind and like basically unprogram them from, like, you know, scarcity mindset, because there was famines. There was no food for us. And so it got programmed through our lineage that, like, when there is food, eat it as much, like, you know, you almost get that like response, like, oh my God, this isn't going to be here. But like, that no longer serves us, because there's a lot of abundance of food everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's like the first step is realizing that you're even having those things happen. You know, it's realizing that this isn't necessarily the most normal response, and then acknowledging it, honoring it, and not, you know, defeating yourself over it, but giving yourself grace, because that's how you heal, not by villainizing yourself or punishing yourself. You're not going to heal when you punish and shame yourself to death.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. The epigenetics thing is so fascinating, because I know we kind of riffed a little bit on it, but I was also listening to this podcast. Her name is Coach Nicole Cruz. My sister actually went through her, her program as well. But she generally serves, Filipina American immigrants or just second generation. And she talked about that exact thing. She said, we have scarcity mindset, and that's because of, you know, our history with the Philippines being colonized by the Spaniards. And what our ancestors experienced was like they were just living their lives, and then the other shoe dropped. So that's why we have this mindset of, oh, I don't know, it's too good to be true. It might happen. The other shoe may drop. And that's what happened to them. They got their properties taken away. They got their rights taken away. They couldn't eat what was, you know, available to them because their resources were stripped from them. And that's why that definitely bleeds into eating habits, because I see that with, especially my dad's side of the family, the eating habits are so intense. There's so much disordered eating, and it's really heartbreaking, because I've seen so much shame behind food. Like, I've seen family members, I'm not naming names, but I've heard stories of some of them hiding food and then eating it. And it's like, oh, now it makes sense with the epigenetic side of things. Mm-hmm. It's like that generational, you know, trauma of, you know, things might get taken away, hence the hiding and the shame.
Yeah, that's why trauma work is such an important thing. That's why releasing negative emotions is so huge, because not mm-hmm. only in body dysmorphia, but just in cancer research, they've noticed that people have a higher survival rate when they're going through therapy, because they're able to release suppressed emotions. Like, doing your emotional trauma work and everything, no matter what modality you're going to use, like either you go to a psychiatrist or a spiritual psychologist or whatever, or doing tapping, like just doing anything to kind of like be able to express yourself in those emotions, like that has a much bigger impact than just in your thoughts. It's on a cellular level, it's reprogramming you. And it's something that none of us can afford to not do. If you're really trying to like biohack and do all that stuff, like it comes down to like, you got to get your head right. It doesn't matter how many greens you're drinking. Like, yeah, that's good for you. But like, if you're literally living in a place of toxicity because you're so full of anger and rage, like that's not going to be a healthy breeding ground, no matter what you're doing.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. I was catching up with a friend from high school. She was my best friend through high school and college. And I know, like, you know, we've talked about, we didn't really say body dysmorphia, but looking back, it's like, oh yeah, definitely body dysmorphia. But she's struggled with her weight for most of her life. And she actually switched into, she's now a therapist. She's a trained therapist. And I've always seen her that way. And it's cool to see her make the switch into something that's always been her. And for her whole life, she's always followed what her parents thought was best for her. You know, especially Asian kids, it's like, you got to do the medical school route. So she was doing that. And I could just see that, you know, she did so much comparison with herself and other peers that were very similar to her. And I saw how much it weighed her down. And then in recent times, I saw that she had really like slimmed down. And I'm pretty careful with complimenting people on that, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
You
know, like, it's like, yeah, know if you're triggering or.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know what, but with her context, I knew what was going on, and I knew it was like a positive change in her life that she started getting leaner. So I did compliment her on it. I said, hey, like, looks like you've been putting a lot of work in, like, good for you. And she said, you know, what's crazy? Once I started doing all the emotional release around my parents and resentments with myself and the people around me, she said, that's when the weight started coming off. And I said, that's so true, because with my own weight loss journey recently, I addressed some things that I didn't realize that I resented. Like, I see some girls and I'm like, wow, they look so fit. Like, they're so, like, they just look effortlessly sexy to me. And I'm just like, how do you do that? And it looks like they don't struggle with their food. I'm like, must be nice. It looks like you've had it easy. And then I was like, wait, that's me fulfilling, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where I'm shaming someone else who has what I want. And if I shame someone else for having what I want, I'm actually preventing that type of energy to come to me. So in a way, I was preventing my own needs and wants coming to me because I was shaming someone else for having it.
Yeah. And it works in every area of life, not just your health. It works in your finances too. You're ashamed someone for being wealthy. Well, then you're never going to be wealthy.
Oh, so true. That is because so true.
Yeah. Energetically, you're not aligned for it.
Yep.
If you're going to villainize someone for being healthy, you're never going to be healthy. Because why?
Yeah.
You're not going to receive it. It's not even a gift you're open to receiving, you know, because you villainized it. So there is a lot to be said about really guarding what your thoughts are saying, because it doesn't matter what comes out your mouth, you know, because whatever you're thinking has an impact.
Oh, and man.
The energy changes. Like, you can see it in people's lives. Like, the biggest examples are, you know, everyone is on their own journey, but look at drug addicts. They have chaotic lifestyles because they are chaos, you know. People that, you know, can't invest, no wonder they can't invest. They're a liability of themselves. So even if they were to receive a massive amount of wealth, they are a liability. So they would spend it on liabilities. So it's like really just doing that inner work that's huge. And like, we're obviously all continuing to work on ourselves. Like, high level coaches have high level coaches that coach them. Like, we all are constantly, you can't imagine that Tony Robbins is just like at his pinnacle. Like, Tony Robbins has a coach.
Yeah.
You know,
multiple.
He's continuing to work on himself. Like, you have a coach. I have coaches. Mm-hmm. Like, we're always continuing to like make ourselves better. And honestly, that's the coolest part about it, because like, there is no perfection. There's only perfection in the imperfection right now. Because like, how boring would life be if we were just like, oh, I'm done.
Yep. That's it.
I'm good.
Yep. Like,
okay.
Well, yeah.
Then,
nope.
Then you'd be like an ascended master. You'd be like a Jesus.
Right. At that point. You are Jesus.
Or Buddha. Like,
yeah, you are Buddha.
One of the ascended masters at that point. And then like, okay. I mean, which is great, but like, we're all works in progress. So like, giving yourself grace, knowing, like, just putting the energy in, finding a coach that you vibe with, or you want to work with it, even if it's like emotionally or business or whatever it is, because everything feeds in to the same thing. It all comes from your thoughts.
Yeah, no, totally. It's the value of having different input, you know, from a coach, or, you know, what if you can't afford it yet? There's so many resources online. There's so many positive podcasts out there, educational resources on how to better your health, your mental health, how to do the inner work.
Yeah. And a lot of the coaches have free 5-day
There's so challenges. Many.
Like, go follow any of them and do anything they offer for free. Just dive in.
Right. There's so many free things out there, and it does come down to your willingness to want to change. That's all it starts with.
And I do have to say something about, like, there's no such thing as you can't afford to do it. You can't afford not to invest in yourself.
Yep.
Like, if you can go out and spend, there's no one that is that poor that you can't afford to hire someone.
Yeah. To do
something. There's no one out there. Like, and I work with like homeless people, like and there's still resources. There's always resources. So that's not an excuse. And time, not having time. Time is not, you're not the president of the United States. Like, you're not running a Fortune 500 company. Guess what? Those guys pay coaches too.
Yeah. They have people.
So if they can do it, there's no difference, honey. Like,
right. No, that's
you
true.
You can afford to do it.
Yeah, there's so many ways. It's like, once you get yourself in the mindset of, Oh, I'm reading this book right now by Marie Forleo. It's called Everything's Figure Outable. She said, just like repeat this to yourself every single day. Like when you remember, everything is figure outable. Like I have one of the most inspiring stories is my friend. I've told you about him, but he was also born in the Philippines. He was born in the jungle. Like he rode a water buffalo to school, and he is one of the wealthiest people I know, at least in our age group. And it came down to his mindset. Like there's this boy who is an immigrant who is helping out his mom, like just his mom and his brother in a new country. And there's something in his 12-year-old brain that was like, I can have this. Like I can have it all. I don't have it right now, but I will find a way. So it's that willingness. It's so powerful.
Yeah. Well, like I always say, like in my, when I have like do speech, like speaks or like speaker things or whatever, huh? When I do speeches, that seems so weird. But anyways, when I run like groups and stuff, I always go, there's no difference between you and someone making $1 million a minute. The only difference is that person believes they can make $1 million a fucking minute, but there's no difference. It's not that it's not attainable. There is no lack of any sort. Same thing with your body. There is no difference between you and whatever girl that you're aspiring or man you're aspiring to look like. There's literally no difference other than they believe they can look that way.
Yeah.
And even like looking back at old pictures where I'm like, oh my gosh, like when I was working off with Claudine, I was so skinny. I was also like doing 3 workouts a day. So like there's that disclaimer because I was just literally like such a stress case. But it's like, even if you have like this vision of like, oh, I look like this when I was X amount of years old, you can still do that. Like there's nothing stopping you from doing that other than your own thoughts are stopping you from being able to be whoever you fucking want to be or look however the fuck you want to look. Like you already did it once. Like that should be an accolade in itself that you can get there again.
Yeah. Right?
No, like, you did it once, you can do it again.
Yep. Yeah. We just hold ourselves. Bottom line is that it's our brains. It's your negative thoughts and emotions. Those are the only things holding you back. And I get it. Like I understand the whole, that mindset of, oh, I feel like I can't get past this point. Like I can't get to the next level. Oh, you wouldn't understand because you didn't grow up poor or you didn't grow up with resources, with minimal resources. But once I got myself out of that headspace where I was like, you know, I'm sick of this. Like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And again, it's that willingness to change. It's the willingness to admit like, oh yeah, I am thinking these thoughts and it's not doing anything for me. What can I do? Or how can I think? How can I be to get to that next level that I want to get to? And the answer is you borrow someone else's brain and thoughts, and then you just keep picking at it, and then you embody them. Like, how would they think? How would they behave? How would they act? It's not just about the doing. Like, oh, like if I do this, then that means I'll be a millionaire and I'll be healthy, right? No, it's like you start with the being. Like, how are they? Like, what do they embody? Do they emulate, you know, like kindness, compassion, confidence? What are their thoughts like? So you always start with the thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like, I always like how I even got through grieving, like my dad and everything. That's why my podcast is called Grieving with Gratitude, was literally just looking at things to be grateful for. Like when I started looking at things that I was grateful for, that was a huge shift. Like when you look at money's always like a great concept to talk about, is because it just is, everyone has a money story. Like every client I've worked with, everyone's got a money story. So it's a really good one to like talk about. But look at money, like money, everyone wants more money, but like, what does money bring you? You know, what is the feeling money brings you, right? Like the embodiment of money. Is it peace? Is it security? Okay, cool. Then it's not really about money that you need more money. It's that you want peace and security. So then being able to dial it back to like, what can I be grateful for right now? Do I have peace and security in my life? I do. Then amen. You're fucking rich, right? Yep. And then money is able to pour in the tangible item if that's what you want, but you got to honor like what it is that you really want. Like if it's, do you really want a 6-pack, or is it, I want to feel confident in my body.
You can do that now.
And let's be grateful for, like, I'm confident in my body. Like, I might not be where I'm at, but I'm confident in my body. Tap on it. I don't know what you got to do, but just starting from a place of gratitude as to, that's huge, because that helped me get out of so many dark holes, was just being grateful. Anything, just being like, I'm grateful for the sun being out right now.
Yeah. And it's available to you right now. And I've been doing the Deepak Chopra meditations every morning. And then it was Deepak Chopra. Yeah, dude, his stuff is so cool. But he had a, he was starting the meditation and he said exactly, like, almost the same words that you said. He was like, what is it that you exactly want? And he said, is it more time? Is it more money? Is it more freedom? And then you say, and then he said, well, it's like the emotions that it brings you. Do you want more peace and clarity, more abundance? And he said, you know, you can have those things right now. You can be in those feelings right now when you stop and recognize what you already have that bring you those feelings. And I was like, you right, Mr. Chopra, you right. But it was like one of the coolest meditations I've done recently, because it made me stop throughout the day and be like, okay, yeah, I want more money because of peace and freedom. I'm like, what do I have right now? I have peace and freedom around knowing that I could buy whatever I want, like with food, specifically with food. I could just choose any restaurant and I could buy food from there. And this used to not be the case because I used to not think this way. I got to this point because I kept thinking that I have the peace and freedom to get whatever I want. Because I am blessed with that, what do you call that, contrast in perspective of having grown up in a third world country and seeing how people grew up there too, seeing how what my cousins went through, and just like the misfortune, and knowing that the fact that I'm here and I have all this opportunity is enough, and that's all I need. And I have a roof over my head. I got clothes. I have a laptop and we have Wi-Fi. We've got good weather, even though it's tripping out right now in California, but I still feel safe and secure. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. It all comes back to, like, the really big picture, your why. And I think in our hustle culture, it's like money, love, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what is love? What is it that love brings?
Yeah.
What is it? Because you can embody that right now. Like, you can embody wealth right now. You can embody that CEO mentality right now. You can embody that healthy mentality right now.
Yep. Yeah, it all starts from within. But I am going to wrap this up. I think this is an amazing conversation. Again, Conway. And then I just wanted to add a little note. So the tapping that Conway was talking about, it's called EFT. Emotional freedom technique, and there's so many resources online. It's basically now there's so much research coming up with it in mind, where when you start addressing your negative thoughts, it's like cleaning house. Like, you want to address your negative thoughts and then you start tapping in, what do you call them, modalities, or
their meridian point. So it's above your eyebrow, temple, below your eyebrow, upper lip, chin, collarbone, under your arm, top of your head. And you can do like the, but it's those meridian points. And so you, even if you're walking through trauma, so I'll take like my clients through like trauma sessions.
Yeah.
And it helps neutralize out like the high highs. So it kind of just, it neutralizes out. But for me, I do like a different trauma process than that. This is like better for what I feel like is better for is, like if you're having those trigger points, like where it's like you're going to the refrigerator and maybe you're like going to look for food, but like you're not actually hungry. You know, like when you catch yourself and you're like, what is going on? Like, why? You're just like walking. Like, I don't know. I'm probably not the only one that does this, because if I do it, when one of us heals, all of us heal. So I definitely know I'm not the only one experiencing this. So when you do like the pace thing, where you're walking back and forth to the refrigerator or the kitchen for whatever reason, I'll be like, I accept myself fully. I'll just like do tapping around anything. When I started feeling anxiety, like I broke up with my boyfriend recently and I started getting like this weird anxiety because I think he's dating another girl. And it was like, I'm like, even though we didn't work out, I accept myself, you know, like it's just tapping through it. And then it's really, it's amazing. Cause you only have to do maybe like two rounds and you'll be like, I can breathe.
Yeah.
So it's really do help with just you not being overwhelmed. Cause like I said, you can create heaven or hell on earth. And like, I don't want to live in fucking purgatory. So like, we're creating it with our minds. So anything that is not constructive, I want to not give it my energy because I want to give my energy to things that are creating amazing stuff.
Yeah, no, amazingly put. And I know it's linked to acupuncture and there's just so much research coming up from behind it. And I'm glad there are more holistic approaches that could be taught versus just medicating all the time. And, you know, we got to self-regulate, but where can people find you? What resources do you have?
So you can find me on Instagram at Conway is Rad. You can find my Grieving with Gratitude podcast at Grieving with Gratitude. I also do digital journals. You can find those on Etsy at Higher Conversations. And I have like retreats and events. So if you want to do in-person live events and meet other people that are like-minded with different speakers, that's Higher Conversations on Instagram. And then you can do one-on-one coaching with me as well. If you have like some trauma coaching you want to work through and get through that, you can definitely reach out to me that way. You can just DM me or yeah. So just find me on Instagram. I'm mostly active on Instagram, but you can also find me at Conway's Rad on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, you know.
Yes, she's very active. But thank you so much. That's awesome. I think it's a really important conversation to have. And I hope everyone who listened, thank you. And I just hope that you find ways, healthy ways to cope or just overcome body dysmorphia. And again, it's not just body dysmorphia, it's all the anxieties and just insecurities that come along with it. And again, you have more control than you think. So find ways that work best for you, because whatever ways work for us may not work for you, but there are so many other modes to go about it. But I will see you all next time. Bye.
So here's a word from our sponsor. Hey guys, I am so excited to announce that I have released my first edition of my 60-day self-love guided digital journal that is available on Etsy at the store Higher Conversations. This is the first in a series of guided journals that will be centered around different topics to help you reprogram your subconscious mind, boost your confidence, and help you become your highest version. I intentionally created these digital journals to be simple and easy to follow because, let's be real, we're all real busy and we aren't trying to do the most, we're just trying to heal. Because you're a listener of the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, I created the promo code Conway to use at checkout. You can find the link in the show notes below. Happy journaling! Hey guys, so if you know me, you know how much I love electrolytes and I really believe in hydration because most of the time when we think that we're hungry, we're actually not. We're just extremely dehydrated. So I try to focus most of my energy on just being as hydrated as possible and I'm able to achieve that with RF Supplements electrolyte powder. So I'm so excited to partner up with them. I love their whole product line from their liquid fat burners to their protein powder, which is delicious, as well as their sleep aid tablets and their pre-workout, which doesn't make me feel like I'm going crazy. So you can purchase any of these online. Follow them on Instagram at RF_Supps, SUPPS, and use RFS Conway at checkout for a discount. Thank you so much for joining me on the Grieving with Gratitude podcast, knowing that you can be blessed through something you would never consider a blessing. If you're ready to transform your trauma into triumph, create the life you want to live, break generational curses, and just level up, please feel free to reach out to me for one-on-one sessions at Conway is Rad across all social platforms. If you love this show, share it with a friend, and please leave a 5-star review. Have a beautiful day, and I cannot wait to catch up with you on the next episode.